Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Touches you, baby, come back to me, come back to me. It kills me to see you leave, so I came home and made this beat. Baby, come back to me, come back to me. Remember me, fresh out of black and white movie.
Sugar Up. I never loved nobody fully. Always one foot on the ground. And by protecting my heart truly, I got lost in the sounds I hear in my mind. All of these voices I hear in my mind. All of these words I hear in my mind. All of this music, and it breaks my heart. When it breaks my heart. Suppose I never ever met you. Suppose we never fell in love. Suppose I never ever let you kiss me so sweet and so soft. Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114-281-4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM. Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
Love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Thank you.
I can do that. to move on, I won't do that. I won't do that.
I know the territory I've been around. It'll all turn to dust and we'll all fall down. Sooner or later you'll be screwing around.
I won't do that. No, I won't do that. Anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. No, I won't.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Dawn? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have Brad and Oliver. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Got back from Las Vegas just the end of the week. That's where I was last week. I don't think I've mentioned it, did I?
No, you didn't, so how did it go?
Really well, actually. You know, it's a great place, Las Vegas. It's more than you think. It's not just, you know, drinking and gambling. There's a lot more stuff to do there. There's, like, tourist attractions, museums, trips you can take there.
I mean, it looks like there's plenty to do there. I mean, but it looks like there's a lot of casinos as well.
Oh, it's just everywhere you look, there's a casino. So, every hotel has a casino. Everything.
And what about you, Brett? So what have you been doing this week?
Not much. I was cat sitting the other week, so other than that, just chilling, really.
And we've got a very special guest here today. So we've got one of the members from Steel Frog, Josh Gorlidge. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So thank you for joining me today. And so give us a bit of background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks. I'm a drummer, local Sheffield drummer, and play with a lot of bands, a lot of projects. Been in Sheffield about 5 years now, I think, but love the music scene. You know, a lot of good music around, and I play with a lot of different projects, from, you know, funk rock, surf rock, psychedelic, jazz, all kind of stuff. But yeah, I've been playing with Steel Frog for the last year, and you know, we've just released our debut single over summer, Stupid Love, which is, yeah, it's good to get that out. And then we got this quite psychedelic music video out, which was quite a fun project.
And I mean, I've got to ask you, I mean, who are your main influences? And also, if there was anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
That's a good question, to be fair. Well, obviously, you know, being a drummer, big fan of, I've got a Rush t-shirt on here, big fan, Neil Peart, you know, rest in peace, he was one of my heroes for sure, would have loved to seen him live. And also Taylor Hawkins, a big, big hero of mine, because he's great drummer, you know, and great guy as well, surfer, cyclist man. But I remember seeing him, I was telling you before, in Reading Festival 2019, and he went up on this stage about 30 foot in the sky and did this crazy drum solo, and that was a big moment for me, you know, complete. I was like, oh, I want to do that, you know.
And I've got to ask you as well, I mean, what was the first song that you heard that captured your imagination and think, gosh, I really want to become a musician? What was that song?
God, that's a good question. I think, so one of my other big influences, Led Zeppelin, big fan of John Bonham, Fall in the Rain, that tune, probably one of my favourite songs of all time. The variety they have in that tune, the creativity and, like, the triplets with John Bonham and the, you know, the whistle and the breakdown, and then it comes back, and that riff, the halftime, the Bo Diddley shuffle, is so, like, it captures you, you know. I think you can't play that and not nod your head to it. So I think that really made me be like, I want to drum, I want to play music that gets people moving and really, you know, just works like that. And yeah, I'd love to, you know, there isn't many shuffles around. People don't use half-time shuffles in a lot of tunes these days, so
that's very rare.
So I think, you know, I want to bring that back and, you know, incorporate jazz and funk and rock all together.
I mean, I want to ask you as well, I mean, for anybody that wants to, like, break into music, I mean, not necessarily the music industry or like that, but for anyone that wants to do it as a hobby or a job, I mean, what advice would you give to our listeners?
I just say keep going, you know, like playing, practicing. I remember seeing an interview by one of these drummers who's done a lot of session work, and he was saying you've really got to value the practice time, you know, because it's hard, especially being a drummer, having a place to practice and, you know, carrying it on, because you want to be ready when you get that call, when you get that, you know, message being like, I want you in the studio, I want you to come play with this band, whatever it is, so that you've practiced, so you're prepared for that, you know. Say yes to things and try things. Don't just wait for the best opportunity, because every band that you play with will make you better in some way, you know. So I've definitely done that. Playing with different projects has helped me be better for the next project, you know.
Sure.
Whether it's jazz, funk, rock, you know, punk, any kind of thing. Some stuff I've joined which hasn't quite been my cup of tea, let's say, and it's actually helped me be a better drummer and musician, you know.
Yeah.
I always try and serve the song, you know, play for the music, not necessarily for yourself. I think that's
And I mean, to our listeners at home, I mean, how difficult is it? I mean, do you think social media has made breaking into music more easier, or do you think it's gotten a lot harder now that the competition's more, if you get what I mean?
I think it's both, really. I mean, I think social media has made it easier in one sense for exposing your music, but then you're at the, you know, the cutthroat of the algorithm and all this stuff. But I think there's a lot of inspiration out there as well. You know, I feel like a lot more videos of amazing, talented musicians than I used to do, you know, years ago. But it also can get you down. And I think, you know, people spending too much time on social media and on the internet or wherever, seeing all these amazing artists, makes you feel like I can never be like that. But, you know, I was having a chat with a friend recently, and they were saying, you know, you need to not let that get to you. It's about doing what you love doing and not getting distracted by something else, because you've got to continue with your creativity. If you get a creative flow, you need to follow that and sit in with that, and then let it lead somewhere. Because if you try and compare yourself to someone else, then it falls down and you lose that creative flow, you know. So I think there's both ways to it, but it's made it, you know, you have to be very delicate in how that you treat it when you're playing.
So the band is called Steel Frog, and I mean, you joined last year. I mean, did it start together last year, or was it was the band before you actually started?
Yeah, well, it was actually 2 years ago. I think I got it wrong, but 2 years ago. And we were playing for a while, so we were probably together half a year before that, jamming and playing. But it was quite fun, actually, because we met kind of on one night. It all happened on one night. One of my friends said, oh, I'm playing this Latin gig in a band called Calario at Sydney Matilda. And I was like, all right, let's go down. Went on down, and I was like, oh, I need me a bit of that guitarist. Louis on guitar, it was amazing. So I spoke to him, I'm a drummer, you're a guitarist, let's play. And then we bumped into another friend who was actually on a date that night, and he was like, oh, I'm a bass player, I know a singer, and we're looking for a drummer and guitarist. And we were like, perfect. So then we played together, and then we just got really, the writing process of this band, out of others that I played with, is really, really good and fluid, and everyone hears each other and it works together. And that what really made the band, and we just love playing together and having different ideas. We've got a variety, you know, from softer, heartfelt songs to more psychedelic tunes.
Has there been a time where, like, your ideas have clashed with each other's ideas?
For sure, yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, me and Joe, definitely in the band, I think, because we're quite similar and we care a lot about the tune, sometimes we'll knock backs like that. But it means that we always find a common ground that's a new thing, and it works together. And we've all got different ideas. Sometimes we clash. We all care about the songs. Recently, we've been mixing the tune, and Chris cares a lot about it, so he really wants to get it perfect, as we all do. But in the end, it all really works out, and I love the connection we have in the band. It's really nice.
So I want to talk to you about your new debut single. It's called Stupid Love.
Yeah.
So, I mean, tell us a bit about the song. I mean, did it come together quite quickly? Was it a long process to make?
Well, yeah, it was actually it was a tune that Chris had written a long time ago, I think, and he kind of had in the bank, and it was, you know, that good indie surf rock feel. But we kind of brought it to life when he brought it to the band. He'd got the lyrics and maybe an acoustic guitar line to it, but then Louis added this really nice lick at the start and to keep it going, and then we brought the energy to it, and it just became a staple of our live performances. So he'd written it, you know, a long time ago, but then we started playing it and it kind of clicked. We wrote it pretty quickly when we did, and we were like, this is the tune that everyone's going to sing along to, and it, you know, it's really fun to play.
I mean, to our listeners at home who want to listen to this song, I mean, who haven't listened to it, can you tell us a bit about the story about the song?
Right, yeah. So as a song, it's quite a nice, simple, catchy, fun summary tune about, you know, a love that you always end up going back to because it's inevitable and you're happy and it's fun, but it comes with the complexities of that. And then there's another section, which is the music video. So the music video, we went a bit crazy with it. Well, we just had all these ideas and we wanted to make them into fruition. So it, you know, follows a storyline of a relationship, but then it's followed with a letter through time. So there's the relationship and then there's the frogs, as we say, in the background. And I'm dressed as a caveman. We've got from caveman to Roman to secret agent to spaceman, so astronaut.
Everything of history, basically, in a music video.
Exactly, all together.
All just, like, compressed.
Yeah, and then, so we pass the letters through time and then we finally give it to them at the end. And the note, basically saying stupid love, that you need to come back to the band, and we bring the bassist back into the band and, you know, say, don't be part of this, come back to the music.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's good fun. But, the shots in the music video really made it. We wanted to celebrate the iconic spaces in Sheffield, the Arts Tower, Crooks Valley Park and Parkwood Springs, where the final shot is, and that all came together. It was like the sun was setting. I wanted to film music video for about 4 years and that exact spot, and then we lugged all our gear up to the top spot and then the sun was setting. We're like, quick, we've got to get it while the sun's still out, and it all just came together, so that was really perfect.
I mean, how long did it take to you to put the music video together? Was it like a day, or did it take quite a few days to make?
Yeah, it took a couple of weeks, I think. I mean, do you know what, we actually had a good quality videographer booked, and they ended up cancelling the day before, which was so frustrating. But then just gave a message to all my, you know, videographer mates and whatever, and this girl Alex Crombie, she came through, like a, you know, uni student, was like, I'm up for it, hadn't had that much experience, and she just jumped at it, was so great. And she all these crazy ideas we had, she was just like, I'm gonna make it work. You know, you need someone to make some idea that seems a bit nuts to, like, actually, how are we going to get this shot? And we managed to get all the stuff we wanted to. It was in the post-production, it was more trying to fit things so that it kind of made chronological sense.
Yeah.
Because we had these ideas, or that it looked really aesthetically pleasing, but to make it actually make sense. So we've got, the end result is like a mix of, I don't know, complex, funny ideas, but also make sense with aesthetically pleasing shots. So.
And, I mean, how difficult was it to find that sound that you're looking for? I mean, have you found what you're looking for, or is it still a long search?
Well, I think we've definitely got a sound with Steel Frog. We've found a sound that works for us, and that just is quite natural to us. But we're definitely still trying to progress and find something new. And a lot of our tunes are quite different. We've got a great tune, which is one of our favourites, called Frog Out the Tank, which I think you would like. It's a bit more psychedelic.
I'll have to give that a listen, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to record it. We've got a live session booked soon, actually, where we want it, because this is more of a live tune that, you know, is hard to record properly, because it's just.
So you have to play it live, and if you record it, it's not necessarily as good, but it's better if you do it like live, like
exactly,
in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you have to, and there's so many rhythm changes and stuff. So we've got a session booked with Original Voice Media. I don't know if you heard of them. They do a lot of live stuff in Sheffield. And I think we're going to do that one then. We're deciding between the tracks. Like, we've got another track, Summer in London, it's called, with Louis rapping in Spanish in it. So that's, you know, very different to other things, but it's that's going to be good. So, yeah, we've got a lot of variety of music for sure. But I think there's a sound that goes through
Most of it, yeah. We're going to play a song later on in the show, but I want to ask you another couple of questions first.
So
what's next for Steel Frog then? So you released your new debut single. I mean, will there be a potential future album in the works?
I think so, yeah. I think that's generally the plan. I mean, we are kind of a bit spread out around the country at the moment. Louis's currently in Argentina right now because his girlfriend lives there, but, you know, it brings variety. But they're coming back, as I say. We've got this live session booked at OV Live, so that will probably be our next, you know, get together and sorting stuff out. We've got a tune as well that we've been mixing for a while now. So our next single is called Stay, and it's quite a special tune to us. It's one that we all really worked well together, and we've been mixing it for a long time because we really want to get the mix right. I think we're almost there. It's actually being mixed right now by my good mate Alphonse Russell. He's been putting a shift in to get that right. But we also had a meeting with a producer, and he proposed an idea of another music video. So
watch this space,
Liz. Yeah, watch this space. There might be another music video if we can get ourselves together.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we keep the psychedelic theme and the strange activities, I think it could be a good music video. I've got an idea of us to be, we've got to be flying in the chorus, you know.
So how can people get to listen to your song then? I mean, is it going to be digital? Will there be physical copies that people can get?
Well, good question. I mean, it's all out at the moment, Spotify, all the streaming platforms and stuff, YouTube, the music video. But as you mentioned about an album, our goal is to, because we've got enough songs that we want to record, it's just getting the recording sessions, getting the money and time for that. So eventually we want to get an album, probably hopefully by the end of next year. Record all the tunes, put them in an album or an EP that work well together, and alongside that we'll have this 3-track live recording that will come out soon, so we'll try and get an album and we'll try and get that out as soon as we can, to be honest.
And I mean, how can people also follow you on social media? Do you have like Facebook, Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter?
I don't really use X or Twitter, but Instagram, I think we've got Facebook as well. Mainly Instagram, Steel Frog Band, we use that. Thing is, it's a bit complicated because I play in lots of different bands, but I've started this new band which is called Frog Mango, which is an accumulation of one of the bands I was in, Lunchtime Special, and Steel Frog. The names are quite, you know, together. But we play a lot of the Steel Frog tunes in Frog Mango,
yeah. So
that's what's quite a cool thing. So that is more Sheffield. You know, we've still got Chris, another Chris actually, who's the singer of Steel Frog and Frog Mango. So we play them quite often. So that's Frog Mango, Instagram, and Steel Frog. But we're looking at, you know, yeah. And also I wanted to say about the album, we probably will get that on CD because it's got to be done. I've got a couple of my mates' albums on CDs and you can play them in the car. And I think it's just a better way of doing it, you know.
And will there also be an upcoming tour in the near future that you can tell us? Possibly in Sheffield?
That's a good point. We should. That's something that's got to be in the works, I think. I mean, it's got to be done for sure, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
like, you know.
When it comes to, yeah. Yeah, we've got to do, all right, we've got to do a tour and we'll wear the outfits that we wear in the music video because they are fun. We did a really good gig, actually. I put on this huge party in the back of my last student house. Where we had, you know, it looked over Crooks Valley Park, the lake right there that you see in the music video. And we had pretty much our outfits on playing this gig to everyone dressed up in weird outfits, you know, it was Next Gen Liberations, it was called. And that was good. But we'll have to bring that to the stage, I think. And if we do a tour, which we probably will, we'll get Sheffield, we'll do Leeds and local spots, but also London and wherever we can. Really.
Eventually, like across the UK or something as well. Is that like the long term goal?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've actually been in contact with some people about Europe festivals, just for whatever projects we're playing with. But definitely across the UK, I've got, you know, a lot of connections down south as well. And Sheffield, Leeds, so.
Local so far, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love playing in Sheffield, to be honest. Like, we played some gigs in London, but Sheffield's just better.
I can't agree with you more on that. I mean, is there any other questions that you would like to ask Brad or Oliver?
When we were talking before the show, you mentioned you did some gigs in the Red Mill.
Yeah.
So what was that like at the time, and how do you feel now that it's gone?
Yeah, it's a real shame it's gone. It's sad. It's, you know, definitely an iconic spot in Sheffield. I mean, I played that with my other band, Donnybrook, which was my main band for a while. And that was it was a good time playing the Leadmill. I always wanted to since I've been here. And I was a bit gutted. Well, one, that it closed, but also when we played it, it kicked us off for our last song, and I was a bit sad.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it was a shame. But it was a real experience to play it, and especially now that it's gone, you know, like Leadmill has been a real spot for music in Sheffield for years, and indie bands and stuff. And it's a shame. But I've also been chatting to some mates recently, and they were saying that actually, even though it's been bought by Electric, which is a chain of events, it's going to bring more money. And it's going to bring a variety of club nights, and hopefully they'll do live music and stuff. So I think everyone's a bit gutted that Leadmill's gone, and there's talk of boycotting it and not going there. But to be honest, I think they're going to do something good with it, and hopefully.
I hope so. I mean, like, continue raised. Almost the spirit of the Leadmill,
exactly.
Without it being the Leadmill. Like, yeah. Carry on its legacy, exactly. If you will.
Yeah, I think it's a bit gutting that they washed off the Leadmill paint on the wall. I think we maybe.
I do think they should have kept. I mean, even though it's not called the Leadmill anymore, it's still like part of it. It's like stamped its place in history since 1980. So for 45 years, they should have just kept, even though like just as a memoir, really just kept it there. Obviously, still call it the Electric now, but just as a
as you said, it's like a
memoir, and so people can. Reflect on saying this was once the Leadmill. I'm not sure if they've still got the pulp plaque. I don't know if they've taken off, because I know Jarvis Cocker really wanted it. Because he said at Tramline saying, if anyone's got like a spade or like something to get it off, can you do that please? So really? And then so I can have it. But I've not walked past there for a while, so I'm not sure if the plaque's still there or not.
There's no activity there. It's a shame, but as you said, it's part of the Sheffield skyline, or it was. And
it's like our equivalent of like the New York skyline. I mean, I've got a picture at home, and it's like it's an animated picture,
right?
And it shows like all like historic buildings and things in Sheffield. So the Leadmill's on there. You've got the two football grounds. You've got the old Roxy as well.
Yeah, Roxy, of course. Yeah. I mean, it is sad that it's gone. I do think it'd be funny to keep some of the memoirs and plaques. I've got the still from when we played Leadmill, the AAA. Pass that you get,
Donnybrook
playing it. So I think that's quite, you know, mind.
It's like a nice thing to keep as well.
Yeah, the tickets and stuff. But I do think they're going to play some more good events, electronic music. Like, obviously, we had Hope Works closed, which was a great spot that everyone loved in Sheffield. But, you know, hopefully, this new Electric Sheffield can play similar sorts of events, rave nights, sound system music that, you know, people enjoy, as well as live bands and stuff. So, I don't know, we'll see what it brings, but it was obviously great to play there when I had the chance, and, you know, hopefully we'll look to new things. There's a lot of good venues in Sheffield popping up. Sydney Matilda, what Tufty does there is just so good, like loads of live bands and different types of music. So there's good stuff to come, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's going to be interesting what my new year brings, because I think that's when it's... Is it open next year, is it?
I believe so. I think it must be next year. I mean, to be honest, it's coming to the end of this year, so it's sooner than you think.
Yeah, it comes up quick, doesn't it?
It does. It's flown this year. It's unbelievable. So anyway, Josh, I want to say thank you for joining me into the studio today. So please introduce your debut single, please.
This is Stupid Love by Steel Frog. Little intro by me on the music video, but check out the music video, check out the tune, and... yeah, Steel Frog, Josh Scollage, thanks for having me.
Let me tell you about it, it was so good. Trust me, it was insane. No, trust me, there were guys in spacesuits, like cavemen. There were men in like suits, like chasing us. It was insane. And there were frogs everywhere.
That sounds stupid, mate.
Oh, but I loved it.
Oh,
to see you, but I came too late. Oh, baby, please. Another day, I just can't wait.
Jazz guitar of Django Reinhardt introduces Swing Time, Sheffield Live FM's weekly selection of swing, jazz and blues. The presenters, that's me, Brian,
Mike
and John,
offer a mixture from all periods of jazz. So if you have a liking for jazz,
tune into Swing Time every Tuesday from 1 to 3 o'clock.
Remember, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
And that was Steel Frog and...
Stupid Love.
And Stupid Love. I mean, beautiful song. Thank you for sharing that with me, Josh.
You.
I mean, great song. And you know what? I can't wait for the new album now.
Yeah, I'm glad
you like it. I'll keep an eye out for it, definitely.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you like it. You were saying about the rawness of the mix, different to electronic music.
Yeah. I think music has changed dramatically, really, because it's more... I think a lot of people now... are more reliant on a computer,
yeah,
more than we actually do instruments themselves. I mean, you don't really hear many people use instruments themselves now, which is a shame, really.
Yeah, I think there's a variety, and as I was saying, like, the production is a huge thing nowadays, as it always has been, but, you know, you can hear some stuff that's a bit overproduced, and it changes the sound a bit, and
yeah,
and obviously, you know, we've gone for quite a raw, organic, nice, you know, like summery sound, and I think it really works with the tune, but as I say, you know, worked with lots of different producers, and trying to get that sound right is a really difficult thing, because there's a huge difference between if something's mixed averagely and mixed really well, and it's now that everything is mixed really well, so you're competing against all this, you know, good quality music, and when you're trying to work on a budget, it is quite tricky. And you know, there was with my old band Lunch Time Special, we released two tunes mixed by a local guy who did some of the demos for Arctic Monkeys, and he did an amazing mix on two tunes and was so good. And then we kind of basically got a mate to do it for free for the other three, and those tunes just sound completely different, and it was shown with, you know, the amount of streams and how many listens and people's feedback. It's just nowhere near as good as if you pay for a good producer and someone who understands what you're trying to do. So that's a really key thing these days, you know.
I mean, it must be difficult to find, you know, exactly what you want for that song, because there must be so many variations of that song that you think, you know, that, you know, it's like, how do you pick one out of those so many variations? Because it's like, they go through so many demos, so many test runs and stuff like that. I mean, it must be really difficult.
Oh, it's crazy, man. I've got the amount of demos and different versions of the songs I've got just stacked up on my phone. And, like, I'm not, because, you know, we've done radio edits and this is better, this whatever. And it does get confusing, to be honest, which is why I think sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and be like, this is what the mix is and this is how it's staying. And sometimes the accidents and little things are the things that make the tune. You know, I was talking about it with Led Zeppelin earlier, one of my favourite tunes, All My Love. There's a bit at the end of that song, which is just, like, a tiny little bit where, you know, where it goes, I get a little bit lonely. Do you know the bit?
Yeah.
And I literally listen to that song for that little bit at the end. A tiny bit, just whilst it's fading out.
You know, so far songs that have, the ending bits are quite necessarily the best bit. I mean, Fleetwood Mac's The Chain, for example. Exactly. It's, you have to wait a couple minutes for the actual bit, but it's worth the wait.
When it kicks in, yeah.
But also, it might come as a surprise, but Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights, the guitar solo at the end, which is I think it's the final minute or something, but it's an underrated guitar solo, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, and I can mention one as well. I mean, it's Lynyrd Skynyrd, Freebird.
Freebird.
And I mean, it came out of nowhere with that guitarist.
It's like a very slow really song, and then it builds up, and then it just goes like that right to the end, and it just kicks into gear, really.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the point, though. They make you wait, and I think that's also with modern music, there's less of the long builds. I really think, like, a long song, you know, it gets you ready for the solo, because you can't just drop in straight with a solo, you know.
I mean, Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. Exactly. It's the same concept, really, yeah.
Time, you know, it's funny you say Freebird, because that's actually a bit of a special song for us in Donnybrook, because we used to, before every gig, we'd have a little prayer to Freebird before we get
was it like
stage.
A
it gets us ready, you know.
Yeah, like a preparation, yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Right, we're ready.
Yeah, and then you get to the solo, and everyone goes crazy, and then you've got the endorphins and dopamine to go on stage.
There's been quite a few artists that I'm actually surprised about, because I mean, Ozzy Osbourne, I mean, I've been a fan of his, but I've never actually listened to his music until recently.
Really?
Because I'll be honest with you, I was expecting, I don't know, I mean, I thought it was going to be more like a screamo, gothic kind of music.
Yeah,
but
it's
not at all. He was more, surprisingly, like a Bon Jovi Kiss kind of.
For sure, yeah.
And
he's quite delicate with some of his tunes as well.
And I mean, I was absolutely gobsmacked when I listened to him, and I thought, why have I not listened to him before? I mean, I've always, I always thought, it's like, I don't know if it's because of even the way he looks and all that, like.
Yeah, and say he's the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I think if you look at him without listening to him, obviously he has this sort of presence.
Yeah.
And he's all dressed in black, he's got his cross chain, necklace.
Yeah.
He wears like, you know, eyeshadow, he's got like, long dark hair.
Yeah, you can see.
So you look at him and you'll be like, Like what Chris is saying, like he's like a screamer almost.
Yeah, but he's not.
But he's direct opposite of anything.
Yeah. I mean, he's talented and he's got, you know, something about him, and he's very creative and free. And I think I remember when he died. Actually, I was doing band practice with my new band, Cafe Totem, and we, you know, one of them said, Bruce was saying to me that it really, the world felt it when he died, because he was such a pioneer in the scene. You know?
We always call him the co-founder of heavy metal, heavy rock.
Yeah, that's exactly what we
said. Well, Black Sabbath, really, they're the godfathers, if you will. And then without them, you know, you wouldn't have Iron Maiden, Motorhead, and many more.
Exactly.
Metallica as well, because Metallica even admitted, saying,
really?
Without Black Sabbath, there'd be no Metallica.
Yeah.
And that's just think how successful they've been and the other two bands.
Yeah.
That's because of Black Sabbath.
Yeah, it's very tasteful metal rock, you know, rather than just being crazy.
I mean, for the early 70s as well, it was unheard of.
Yeah.
And to come in with a great album, Paranoid, by the way.
Amazing.
To come in with that, like, unheard of, and then shock everyone, really, and then revolutionise the world of heavy metal.
Non-stop, you know, everyone knows Paranoid, and everyone plays it. And it's funny you say that, because I saw Metallica as well, Reading Festival years ago. And that was amazing. It was powerful. You know how they have that? I think it's called One. And that whole album is quite like World War themed, and they have all the gun sounds and stuff. And you know, that was pretty experimental for metal stuff, but doing all the samples. But it builds, as we were saying about guitar solos, and it just really hits very powerfully. So I think the fact that Black Sabbath really, you know, inspired that, I think it's amazing.
They've started off a trend, but to start off something that still goes on.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be going on forever.
Yeah,
now.
I think. And you know, even if people don't say they're into metal, or don't say they're into heavy rock,
they've always got a little soft spot somewhere.
Ah, for sure. Then they'll know Metallica, and they'll know Black Sabbath, and, you know, even so. And that's why I think it's important to listen to this. Funny Chris saying that you didn't listen to him much before, because he's an iconic name as well as just a musician, you know.
Everybody knows him. If you don't know his face, you know his name, vice versa.
And if you don't know his name, you know his music.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, it's like, always watched them on TV, but, you know, for some reason, and it never, ever entered my mind to listen to his music. It just never... And, I mean, I think the first song that I actually heard was Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. And, that's a classic guitar. Yeah,
classic.
One of the first ones you can play on guitar.
It is, I mean, legendary. And I mean, after I listened to that, I thought, you know what, I'm going to give him a chance. So I listened to him, and I was just blown away.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, he was more like a Bon Jovi Kiss kind of guy, and I was expecting something completely different.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, even on that last gig that he played, he managed to bring his voice and everything. And, you know, it was, you know, interesting the fact that he died, and I really think that he pulled it. It was almost like... he decided that was his last show and he was going to give all his energy.
I still need to see the documentary that was going to be on BBC, but then it got delayed. I think it's on now. I still need to watch that.
There's a new one on Paramount Plus as well.
Yeah, I've seen one in the past where he comes back to Birmingham and he sees his old house and everything, but it's from a few years ago.
Right.
That was on, like, you know, not long after he passed, the same week.
Yeah.
But I am meaning to watch the new one. And just speaking of Kiss, by the way, rest in peace, Ace.
Yeah. I mean, Kiss is great. That's why it's a bit like, when you think about this kind of music, like, is there anything like that these days? But there is stuff coming, and, you know, maybe it's different types of music, but there's a lot of good
There needs
stuff
to be out. More guitar thing. I mean, I tell you what's had a... massive, like, research, really. Country music and country rock, it's everywhere now.
Yeah, I think that's crazy how that's come about. I mean, obviously in the US quite big, and it's, like, made its way into pop stuff in the US as well, and in the UK as well. Like, people love it.
I mean, it's huge in America.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, in Vegas, there was a lot of, like, places playing, and there was a... I can't remember the name of the bar exactly, but it's near our hotel, and they had, like, live bands on, like, all day, and a lot of them were country. And I remember seeing one of the bands, and they did, like, a country version of AC/DC Thunderstruck.
Oh yeah, that would be cool. And you can countryify whatever you want.
Oh yeah, you can literally turn anything to country now.
Yeah,
but you can turn any song into any genre, really.
Well, yeah, it's true. I actually heard a funk version of Back in Black, I think, the other day, which I thought was funny, you know. And it's nice to take different views on things, but there's also...
It always starts with acoustic, though. Always starts with acoustic.
Well, with the funk stuff, I think it's different. It was like, you know, some black singer really getting in there with the funkness, and I think it was great.
That's what I like seeing.
Completely reimagined it. It was, you know, it's really good.
That's what I like seeing.
Speaking of that, I mean, it's like, I remember a song called Barcelona by Freddie Mercury. I mean, classic. And then Russell Watson took over and did his own version of it. Right. And, you know, the two different versions, I mean, obviously you're never going to beat Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
But the Russell Watson and Sean Ryder version, that's just a league on its own anyway. And I mean, it's just amazing what you can do with music today.
It's how it's been changed, you know, like it's what it does for the song as well. Look at Bob Dylan, All Along the Watchtower. Yeah. That's Jimi Hendrix's song now, and he actually said Jimi Hendrix got that song now, because, you know, so you've got to try it, I think, because if you don't try and change it, you can't see it from different angles. Everyone only knows this version they've listened to until you've shown them something different.
And speaking of that, it's like Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, and it was originally Dolly Parton's song. So, and they don't recognise the Dolly Parton version. Well, they do, but it's more Whitney Houston's version that we recognise.
Yeah,
it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's what makes it iconic. But a lot of the time, it can be what the promoters and the industry does to that tune as well. Like, which I think sometimes is sad, because someone will release an amazing tune and it maybe won't do so well, and then someone else will do a version of it, you know, Bruno Mars or something like that, and then it'll be huge and famous, and it's like, does the original artist get credit or whatever? But, you know, there's something to be said for finding that music as well. Like, even like Kanye West samples all these old, you know, almost gospel tunes and operatic songs and then makes them something new. Same with like Kendrick Lamar and stuff like that. But, you know, how you change a song is an art in itself, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're coming near to the end of the show now. I mean,
it always flies past this show, doesn't it?
It does. I mean,
we have such a good time, like, you know, talking, and it just goes like that.
I know. It doesn't feel like an hour. It feels like I want to be here 5 minutes.
I mean, you turn away from the clock, and then you turn back, and like, oh, it's nearly the end of the show.
So, Josh, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks,
Sam. And a great song, Andy. You know what? I'm looking forward to the new album. So please keep in touch and come back when you've got your new album.
I will. Plenty of music on the way and I'll keep in touch. It's been great to chat. Thanks, Seth. Thanks so much for having
me. So we've got one more song to play, but before that we're going to say goodbye. So goodbye, Oliver.
Thank you for having me again. It's good to be back in the UK and it's good to be back on Sheffield Live after a couple of weeks.
And it's goodbye from...
Goodbye from Brad, thank you for having me, like always.
And it's goodbye from Chris and Ellie. And if you're interested in joining us on volunteers, we are looking for volunteers. If you're interested in either doing a presenting role or a back role, which is producing producing our new stories and stuff like that, you can get in touch with us on our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website. Or you can get in touch with me at chrisandellie89@gmail.com. Again, we have our very own Communities Live Facebook page. We have our very own Sheffield Live website. And you can also get in touch with me at chrisandellie89@gmail.com. So this is Chris and Ellie, and we're going to play our last song, Ozzy Osbourne, Ordinary Man, featuring Elton John.
It's all